Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to Ambridge on the Couch, an in-depth look at the Archers with me, Harriet Carmichael, Lucy Freeman and Mr. Newbie. Before we dive in, let's remind ourselves of what happened last week with Lucy's Week in Ambridge. Welcome back, Lucy.
Thank you very much, Harriet. This week was sponsored by people thinking that other people were interested in their boring stories. Let me tell you about the time I got kicked in the head by a mad cow, Stella, said Brian. No, not Jenny, another one. It also featured a very, very rash decisions made on no evidence whatsoever, even more than normal. In an unlikely turn of events, Jazza has become the village social worker, running workshops on homelessness, juvenile delinquency and road safety. There was a whole saga about him selling his motorbike to Alan because he said Tracy was fuming. Jazza only appeared to be doing the right thing in order to get himself a bit of action with Tracy, which is a dangerous course to pursue. If I sell a kidney, she says she'll let me do upstairs outsides. Alan was excited at the prospect of doing something interesting, namely buying an old motorbike to tinker with, but inevitably Amy worried that it was interesting and told him to stop it at once. However, it all went wrong because Jazza changed his mind anyway. Sadly, not before Alan had already joined the owner's club without actually being an owner, which I thought a little precipitate. Like those people that do one yoga class, buy a monogrammed mat, twist their knee and never go again. As Jazza's first casework client, Blake started doing some work at Green Knackers. Alistair appears to think he's deaf. Would you like tea, Blake? Tea? Yes. He's homeless, not hard of hearing, Alistair. He was terribly nice to Blake, but just because he's struggling a bit doesn't give you license to bore him to death with your terrible stories, Alistair. You'd think being a vet, he'd have some decent anecdotes at least, or even some filthy ones centred around Lavinia Rafferty's schnauzer. I was waiting with bated breath for the punchline of the cat that wouldn't eat. And then it was, and it turned out he didn't like wearing his collar. Good God, I bet Alistair's a must listen on the after dinner speaker circuit. Core, Martin Gibson's a jovial sort, isn't he? What a scream. The sort of bloke who follows you round duty-free, telling you that statistically your seat is the one most likely to be scrunched up in an air disaster. He hastily got in on the We Love Blake campaign and booked him to repair all the pigs at Barrow. This was strictly a PR exercise in case Blake decided to sue about having built the entire farm from scratch in exchange for 10 minutes on a PlayStation, I presume. But as Blake seems deeply suspicious of accepting a sandwich, I'm not sure he'd have the wherewithal to find a solicitor, and Usha doesn't specialise in employment tribunals. What a surprise. Arthur Shillington is the church warden at Edgeley. No, he is not. Arthur Shillington is the name of the corpse in a 1930s murder mystery novel. So you're not selling Home Farm anymore? Stella asked Brian. Nah, said Brian. Couldn't be asked. Well, thanks for letting us in on those agonising deliberations, scriptwriters. Yes. More interestingly, Pip and Stella are not getting on. As soon as Stella used the phrase, with respect, which is the middle class equivalent of come and have a go at you think you're hard enough, I knew we were into punch up the bracket territory. Or possibly a leather affair, if it all goes brooding and tense. Who knows? Slightly annoying, though, that this week was a love feast for all the men's, who were helpy and tactful and emotiony, and all the women's were proper grumpy bardasses. Speaking of that, Amy is job hunting. It's not easy. Seek an engaging person with sparkling... No. We're a dynamic organiser... No. Upbeat individual wanted... No. Then she did a personality test. They didn't find one. Ruth decided to take control of the role for which she is congenitally incapable, namely organising the harvest supper, and went to see Lillian. She was very impressed with the Dower House. The grass is warm and blue. What have you done to it, Lillian? It's carpet, darling. Take your wellies off. Lillian seems to have gone completely mad. I think she should start smoking again, possibly crack. She says she isn't using nicotine patches or gum as she couldn't get them to light. Chelsea cut Russ's hair, and despite me screaming at the radio that one lapse of concentration she could have his head off, no such development occurred, and she did it, along with an incredibly uncool-sounding celebratory dance. Also, I wasn't sure Lily should have been encouraging Russ to get quite so close to Chelsea, bearing in mind his predilection for nurturing young girls with daddy issues, but she does seem to have a blind spot the size of Felpersham when it comes to trust. Shula is having to resurface the indoor school because Lillian's fat horses have been galloping round it and dented it. In recompense, Lillian is going to go into business with Shula in another entirely rash, unprompted decision made with no business plan. But on the plus side, thank God Lillian has got somewhere to put all that money she's been using to paper the downstairs lav with, because I was worrying about that. I'm sure you were too. I mean, never mind a young man sleeping in a bird hide. What is really sickening is when you can't think what to do with all your cash. Ben or Josh, should we just start calling them Bosch to get it over with, had an idea about planting trees on the farm so that all the carbon would get stuck in the branches and then they would have zero nets by 2040. Tell me more, said Pip. I don't know anymore, said Bosch. I just have had an idea. Like, wouldn't it be good if clouds really were made of squirty cream? So I have no doubt that at the current rate of ill-conceived ideas being taken up in a heartbeat, soon we will have Stella turning Home Farm into the single most profitable farm in the whole of the Midlands based on worm poo, Brookfield looking like the Amazon rainforest by Wednesday week, and Shula and Lillian selling racehorses to Costa Rica with Pandora at the helm any minute now. Still, I don't care. It's nice that they all sound enthusiastic and positive, even if they are all completely mental. The end.
Hey, Lucy, back in Ambridge. Yay! She's back, ladies and gentlemen.
On fire. The curtain.
Oh, welcome back.
Thank you very much.
It's been such a long time since you were here.
It's been a fortnight, you fool. Not that long.
A fortnight in Ambridge is like years, isn't it, though, on your life, basically. That bit when Stella was in a board meeting, being yes. all sort of like woman at a board yes. meeting,
yes.
and all those hairy old men, that feels like that was like 5 months ago.
It does. I think that's because this week has been so good.
So fun!
I have really liked it. It was a Kerry week as well.
Oh, that's which
means
why.
Which means that Kerry goes on Twitter. He never goes on Twitter when it's not a Kerry week. He only goes on to read all the nice things everyone says about him, I think.
Well, it was like a Corrie week, wasn't it?
Yes.
It was just good, yep. honest, fun.
Yes.
Nothing and to was, stress about.
Yes. And
good
it was
characterization.
People, not events. I like that. I like people much better than events, I've decided.
Oh, my God. I'm with you. Mm. That's why I like sitting in cafes, just watching people. You yeah. know, that's what I'd rather do that than watch Succession, to be honest.
Yes, because having a good look and a listen. That's very important.
Or people having exchanges at tills.
Yeah.
You know,
yep.
like when they can't get their that Wi-Fi tappy thing to work.
Yes.
Oh, and it did work yesterday. And they're there for like 5 minutes and you're behind them going, oh, just put your bed number in, love.
Stop trying. Give up.
And when you have a patient cashier, that's yes. the worst, isn't yes. it? Because you're like, come on. Anyway, no, I digress. It was just a jolly, jolly week. Such a lovely, lovely week for you to come home to.
Yes.
I
Thank
don't
you,
keep,
Kerry,
I,
for
I'm,
obviously
yes.
scheduling in when I'm going to be back. But yeah. Am I wrong, though, that...
Often.
Yes, obviously. But am I specifically wrong on this specific... Pacific occasion,
Pacific liner.
Harriet?
Yes.
Did we... Was Brian's only decision to not sell the farm? Was Stella going... I don't think you should sell the farm. And him going, all right then. Was that it?
I was going to ask you the same thing. Because that was...
I thought I missed a bit.
I almost went back to re-listen to the week before thinking there must have been some bit where Brian went, oh, actually, I won't sell the farm.
Yeah.
But I couldn't be bothered to do that. And life's too short. But also, I genuinely don't think that happened. I think we found out in that episode when Stella said, oh, thanks for not... You know, you're definitely not going to sell it then. And he went, nah. I think that was it. I think that was
really?
When... Well, the listeners may come back to us with more specific advice. Yes. No, because I was genuinely going to say, because I assumed you must have been listening on holiday.
Yeah,
despite being in the sunshine with the pool and mountains and a beautiful view, etc. But you didn't hear it the week before. I genuinely don't think it could. So you're not wrong. It was just a spur of the moment thing, which is odd, isn't it?
Well, it seems extraordinary that, I mean, I hope to God Jenny Darling hasn't told the children or anything like that, because they've all spent the money by now. And they're like, yes. What do you mean you're not selling it?
Jenny's already brought a new estate and a few vineyards with that cash.
And what the hell was the point of going through all that? About him breaking the news to Jenny and Jenny talking about the children and
Maybe we do actually need some clarification from worthier people than ourselves, okay. Lucy, listening, because as I said, couldn't be bothered because it's such a pain in the bum trying to go and listen back.
Yeah, and
because you have to, you can't just go like next episode, back episode.
Yeah.
It's actually a bit more fiddly than that.
Yeah,
I've been struggling this week to make sense of my episodes again. They all get a bit mixed up in my head.
Mm.
Anyway, but that's why it's so lovely to have you back, Lucy, because I don't have to do all the concentrating by myself.
But a lot of the... This week wasn't really consecutive, was it? Because everything, it just all sort of floated around in a nice miasma of chattiness and...
It's not overshadowed, that's the wrong word. It was the highlights were Chelsea, Russ and Lily, which was just my absolutely favourite thing. Also Pip
and
Stella.
No Lily, but I mean, you only sell kitchens.
Oh my God.
Love that.
Hilarious. That was the best. That was almost better than the Downton Abbey line, wasn't it? Oh, I'm not going to Miss Downton Abbey. Yeah, all right, Downton Abbey. Yeah, whatever. It was so funny. And I was going to actually agree with you, because the thing is, because they've written her so well, you can forgive all the youth speaky bits that occasionally crop up a bit awkwardly.
When she went a bit Vicky Pollard. Which is then, and anyway, so Mum was like this and I was like that. And then she
cringe.
Was like...
Cringe! Yeah, and I was like, cringe! I don't think you'd say... cringe if you were 17, would you?
No, I have a 16-year-old and an 18-year-old, and they just don't
imagine
do
how it, imagine how awkward that would be for her to listen to. Yes. But it doesn't matter to us oldies. We're just enjoying the comedy of Chelsea, and also that she's a bit goofy is fun, isn't it? And
I have never heard an actor hit the ground running in the way that she has
she's
with
great.
Chelsea.
We can't talk about Madeline Lily for a whole other episode.
Oh, no, no, Lucy. No. We've already set up the fan club. We know where she lives. That's enough for now, isn't it?
If you'd like to write to the Madeline Lily fan club,
is it your go to sit outside her house in a bobble hat this evening, or is it mine? I'm not sure. Staring in through the window, mouthing, "We love you, Madeline."
I wish I was you. Can you talk French as well?
Because we think she can. We're just making that up, aren't we, that she's a little bit French.
She could probably make really, really good meringue as well. Think,
oh, my
probably.
God. Look what we're doing. We're spending another episode, a whole episode, talking about this girl we don't even know.
No. And but there is a restraining order, and we really ought to respect that, let's face it.
But what they've done, which is so clever, is that, Tracy came along. Mm. Well, Susie came along and just was brilliant. Mm-hmm. And then they thought, let's cash in because she's such a great character. Yep. Of course, her daughter is going to be. So now it's like she's just a bonus, isn't she? Basically, a younger. Because Tracy, I suppose, inevitably has to become a bit more sensible when she's mothering, for example. So, you lose a bit of silly old Tracy, don't you, in that? So
but I loved
now they're
clopping round the Bridge Farm in her dress and her high heels to go and see Johnny. He was completely oblivious, and all he wanted to do was talk about motorbikes.
Poor Johnny. I've always had a soft spot for Johnny as well, because he's the nicest boy, isn't he?
Hapless is the word.
But wouldn't you love your 17-year-old to be his girlfriend? Yeah, I would, because he's so adorable and kind.
Yeah.
But then I forgot, I was a bit like Pot Kettle when he made that hair joke to Chelsea and she did retaliate by saying, because do you remember how paranoid he used to, like, super...
Well, she said, well, at least I've got some. And I thought, oh, that's a bit nasty.
Yeah.
But then he'd taken the piss out of her about her hair, I suppose.
And I don't think he would have done that, seeing as he spent about 2 years being seriously depressed about his hair. Yeah. Maybe he's had a transplant since then. Who knows?
He decided to embrace...
Wear hats.
Embrace
I thought
it,
he decided to wear hats.
No, he shaved it all off. He decided to shave it.
Oh, I missed that.
that wasn't last week. Don't worry, I haven't missed that as well.
Anyway, that the hair thing was hilarious, but I knew it would be fine.
Yeah.
Oh, and another observation I made actually was because I used to find Lily quite annoying, and Lily and Russ can be irksome, can't they?
Yeah.
But when they're playing a sort of not old married couple, but sort of stuffed shirts, as opposed to sort of Lily playing a young person.
Yeah.
They're very funny. Like, Lily was very funny, actually, wasn't she?
Yeah.
And, I think two teachers, Russ. Don't you think that would... You know, she was just... It was really, really clever.
She said, ooh, that's a big bit you've taken off there, Chelsea.
talking of big bits, because I thought there was a bit of innuendo in there. I've got to play you, as a sort of special treat for your homecoming.
Yes.
I've mixed up a little bit of... sound effect.
No,
it was a sound effect that caught me right off guard. And I think it was like...
Do you
know what I'm talking about?
Yes, but I can't remember. But I remember thinking, oh, I hope Harriet's listening to this when I heard it.
Well, I'll play you this and see if it's the same one. Here we go.
Yes!
I don't want to push you too hard.
You gotta listen to it in full. You gotta listen in full. Wait. Listen in full. I spent a long time over this. Wait for it.
The thing is, you don't
want to
push it too hard.
You missed the...
I didn't.
And then she was like, thing is, you don't want to push it too hard, Jazz.
It'll come off.
I was genuinely listening to it, and I think I dropped my pile of washing. I was like, "Oh my god, what a way to start an episode!"
Well, I did. I was casually listening, and then I'd have to say that did pull my attention in fairly rapidly when I thought, "What?"
Because it sounds like the sawing is exactly the same as a bed squeaking.
And that's
isn't
what
it?
I thought. I thought, "My god, we're actually in bed with Jazza and Tracy. What is going on?"
Just pull it harder, Jazz. And then it's like, hang on, wait a minute.
Hang on, I've got a splinter.
Wait, here we go, hang on. Hang on.
Stop it!
Oh my god. I mean, I did remix that a little bit for your pleasure.
It wasn't pleasure, but thank you. I appreciate it.
Oh, I'm glad we are on the same page.
The same mucky, disgusting page, yes.
Because in a way, I only listen for the sound effects now.
Yes, they have developed a piquancy, haven't they, I think?
I think sometimes there's a little playfulness going on there in the sound box, Lucy.
There's an old pop anecdote about the Archer sound effects people. That they tried to get in the most extraordinary sound effects they possibly could, and just to see if they could get away with it. And on one momentous occasion, Tony started up his tractor and it was the noise of an F1 car. Like, like this, like it's supposed to be.
I hope that's true. I think we should have a little segment, extraordinary sound effects.
Yes.
Anybody notices one next week, please send it in.
Yes.
And you're welcome to remix it, just if it needs a little bit of exaggeration.
A little bit of boosting, yes.
Because I had a friend who used to do that, actually. He's gone on tour. He tours in The Lion King all around the world.
Wow.
Maybe he can't be on tour. Cause, anyway, but he used to
sometimes
just send
now he just
me...
Now tours around his living room on Zoom on The Lion King.
Yes, just roaring. He used to send me little fragments of funny, you know, if you take something out of context is funny, isn't it, basically?
Yep.
So sometimes, you know, anything Ruth says out of context just sounds stupid.
no. Even like, did you hear Pip this week going, she's inherited it, and she goes, yeah. Go on.
Yeah, go she did. On. I heard that, yes. And I thought, ooh. So all the babies are going, Mama, da 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 da, and little Pip is going, go on.
Go on, go on.
I'm glad you noticed it. Yes. What was it? That I switched off during that thing about whatever Bosch was talking about.
Ugh.
Some idea.
Oh, it was about reaching
fields
next thing. No, about planting trees on the bendy bits of fields.
And also it's like with Stella, you know, that board meeting when she was like, oh, I've had an idea actually. And yeah. Then she just gives probably like something you could Google.
Yes.
You know, if you're a farmer, you'd Google
lift
like
that paragraph, yeah, put it in
top 10 best ideas for a farmer.
Yes.
Hers comes number one. Yeah. She says it at the board meeting. They're like, oh my God, amazing.
Stella, I'd like to hear more about this.
God, Stella, you know your farming stats. But they're so, like, stupid, aren't they?
I know, Well, they're so busy willy-waving. They've all got them out on the table with their tape measures. No one's actually listening to what she's saying. She could quite happily say, I think we should turn it all into a massive swimming pool. And then he'll go, oh, it's marvellous, Stella. Yes, let's do that. What car are you driving, Justin? Still with the Jag. I see.
Oh, my God. I don't think they'd allow that board as a FTSE 100 company, would they? Because it's
well,
so
start,
undiverse.
I was going to say, yeah, diversity and equality. No.
It's just literally
it's
could have been made 50 years ago.
White men just wanging onto each other.
Yeah, actually, I think you'll notice the wields from this are pretty, yeah. Shut up about your wield. Don't wield your wields at me, you willy wielder. But this is like history because you were on holiday this week. But there was the bit where, oh no, we talked about it, did we? Where, you know, Brian was like, oh, I'm an old dinosaur. And she was like, oh, Brian, you're not a dinosaur. And then everyone went, oh my God, are they going to get it on?
Yeah.
This is like old history, isn't it now?
Yeah.
Ancient history.
Because there's no way that's going to happen. She's got hasn't she?
Well, no.
She's got all of their numbers by the sound of it.
And actually, they would, but Brian was actually just being, they were sort of sounding fond of each other,
yes,
but that's fine.
But not creepy.
Yes, yeah. Yes. Okay, fine. Yeah.
But she just does checking. Seem to, she doesn't have very, oh, sorry, that's Cooper.
Hiya, Cooper.
She doesn't seem to have a very high opinion of any of them, does she? I mean, she's a healthily sceptic about all of them.
What's her, why is she there? Like,
I know.
Unless she's got a seriously good package. What, like, you sort of feel like, ah, why are you there?
Yeah, was there not anything else you could do, yeah, Stella? Did
if
you,
you're
did
that you, good,
yeah. Yeah,
but I think probably she's not that good, which is why she's there.
She's probably pulling a fast one, and we'll find out. And then,
yes,
Adam
I hope
back,
so.
Take over the farm, she will leave. Blah blah blah.
I hope she's well, Lucy. If you listen to my later Shambridge, you might see there's a bit more to her than you think.
Oh, really? Okay,
yes, I've just put a new one up. Okay. No. I think there is more to her than at the moment. I think there's something.
Why did she suddenly take that violent? I mean, we all took a violent dislike to Pip, but I'd be interested to know why hers was quite that rapid.
It's because of the way
when
Pip
all Pip
speaks.
Said was hello, she said, no, but get your cows off my land, and then before we knew it, there was hair everywhere.
No, it's not that. It's just that Pip can't not patronise someone when she speaks to them. So she's like, what's your name? Stella, isn't it? I think. And you're like, oh my God. Because Stella's probably got a good 10, 15 years on Pip. And Pip just acts like she's 50.
Yes.
With, you know, like she just. And so she's a bit irritating. And I think Stella was just like, shut up. Get your shape off my lid. And to be fair, Stella's like at a new farm. No one's warned her that there's some random sheep in a field. Why shouldn't she go and tell Pip? And then there's all, you know, Pip there just trimming her bush and not doing anything else.
When Stella said, you know, we've really got to sort out all these strange little arrangements that informal arrangements. And I thought, Jesus, lady, don't start pulling on that thread. This is how the village has been run for the last 300 years. If you pull out, there's no show, no village, no nothing. If you're trying to looking for sense and business decisions made not on, you know, family and who's shagging who, and rather than, you know, actual sensible cost analysis, you've got no chance. So you're just going to have to go with it, Stella. Stop trying to...
Ooh, Lucy! Lucy, I'm on Stella's side. I think good for her. She's coming. She's being
I mean, she's trying to apply sanity to. She's gone through the looking glass now. There's no. Give up.
But it's like new teachers, isn't it? Yeah. Well, you know, when you start being, I assume you start as a teacher and you've got really good intentions. You're like,
yeah.
I'm going to sort this school out, and they're going to respect me.
And also, I'm going to apply all the lessons I learned at teacher training
from Robin Williams.
Might as well just, yeah.
Yeah, and then you go and you give it a good go probably for 6 months, and then you just have to give it. You know, you realise you can't change.
What is
too hard to change?
Yes. Poor Stella. I don't think she's going to be around for very much longer.
I really like her though because she's ballsy.
Yes, she is.
She's not. Is that like? Is that sexist? Ooh, is that right? Can you call someone?
She's got
ballsy?
Big ovaries.
She's got big tits. Yeah. No, she hasn't got big tits. That... She's got big balls. No, hang on. Oh my god!
Pull out, Harry.
No! Pull out, Jazza. Just pull out, Jazza.
Stop ring wielding.
Oh dear. Anyway, what else happened?
Blake.
Oh, Blake! Yes.
I am loving Jazza being the only person in the village who's got the faintest idea how to talk to someone who isn't middle class. It's hilarious. And he just described them as, they're all nuts, Blake. Yes. Just go along with it.
I loved that too. Yeah, when he was just like, they're all mad.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, yes, they are. Yes, they are.
Yes, they are completely mad. But they're well-intentioned. Some of them are well-intentioned, he said. And that's kind of, that's the most you could say, I think.
I mean, Blake's done all right now, hasn't he? He's gone from modern slave to proper job on the farm.
Yes.
With
I
Martin
didn't really
Gibson.
Understand that again.
No, when, I didn't.
But I loved it when Martin Gibson said, none of that freelance nonsense. I thought, ooh, yes. Well, we all know, let's not mention that to Phoebe, who's very busily freelancing without actually specifying what she's doing at any stage.
What made me raise an eyebrow was when they called Ed. Oh, Stella was like, oh yeah, and that freelancer Ed Grundy, he's too. And I was like, what? God, he's really sort of gone up in my estimation now. I just thought he was a freeloader, to be honest. But wow, he sounds quite with it. Yeah, competent. And when Martin was talking, I was thinking, I thought, oh God, was Martin linked to the slavery stuff? And does Blake have something on him? And he wants to sort of get Blake working for him. So, but then obviously that wasn't, my mind was playing tricks.
Just a massive PR exercise thing.
yes.
You know, just to make
Martin showing
good.
Off.
Yeah.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, he's not going to employ a homeless bloke sleeping in a bird hide on the strength of Jazza, who he doesn't know.
Jazza is not even a freelancer.
Fixing that so he can come and fix them. Good, yes. And we'll get him on the payroll. Really? So there's no vacancy, no advertising, no interview. No, just get him in, you know.
As I said, this board could you'd never exist in the real world, could it? Yes, exactly. Where's the job, Martin? Where's the money come from?
Maybe he could inquire with Amy about jobs because she's...
But you stole my joke, Lucy, because I was going to do a thing about, like... personality
test.
Just got the answers from my personality test. It says I haven't... Yeah. It's just an obvious one, isn't it? But I mean, we all thought it at the time.
When she said, it's quite an interesting shortlist... I thought, oh, and then she went, and then I was actually going to say, you know, so I'm going to have to get rid of it and find some boring ones instead, because this is crap. I can't do anything interesting. No.
What is she going to do?
Oh, God knows.
I mean...
She's going to become a civil engineer or something.
But
I apologise to anybody that's an interesting civil engineer.
But she's got to find a job in the village, otherwise what's the point in getting her back in and giving up her midwifery? Ooh, unless somebody has a baby and she becomes like the sort of village
A freelance! Midwife.
She could be a doula.
Yes.
You know, when someone who just pats your shoulders as you give birth.
Yeah.
But they get paid a lot of money for that.
Charges you $3,000. I think I think Kate would have issues with that.
Yes,
Kate likes
true,
to see herself
actually. She's the village.
Earth mother, birth mother, isn't she?
Yes. I would imagine that being a midwife, although probably one of the most stressful jobs you could do, especially during COVID times, is probably also one of the most fulfilling and rewarding. Mm. Where do you go from there?
Yeah.
Where do you go from there, Lucy?
But I can't imagine. She doesn't sound like she's got it in her to actually feel excited or...
No.
Fulfilled her, by anything.
For all her non-personality, I really like Amy, actually. And I quite enjoy her flatness. Because I think... Because it's just not try hard.
You ever heard the phrase, damning with faint praise?
Oh my God, so rude. Sorry, Amy. No, I genuinely enjoy
listening to her. Well, she's certainly not overexcitable. And compared with Tracy and Chelsea...
Exactly.
When he said, oh, it's, you know, non-stop drama. No, it was Chelsea that said, my mum's just, you know, non-stop drama sort of thing. I suppose, yeah, Amy is certainly a counterpoint to that. I'll give her that.
I think that's actually really good to have that in the Archers, because there's quite a lot of not overacting, Lucy, just prop acting and stuff,
yes,
isn't there?
Yeah.
Oh, you know, because you've got to do that, I guess, on the radio.
Yeah.
So I think she's a very calming, soothing balance to all that.
Yes.
I just really like the way she talks. Maybe it's because I wish I was a little bit more like that. When I listen to these Rufus, when I do this podcast, and he goes, oh, God, are you going to go and do your Elaine Page? Because sometimes he can hear me just going, and then if I ever listen to these things, I am mortified. I feel like I should be more. I should be more Amy.
Oh, Lord.
Less excitable.
We've had lots of emails, which are all very excitable.
Great. Fantastic.
Right. This is from Sue Hanran. It says, Dear Lucy, Harriet, and Mr. Newbie, I love your podcast and listen every week. Your laughter is very infectious and I love all the sketches about Helen.
Sorry to interrupt, actually. That was my Elaine Page laughter being sickening, not infectious. Infectious.
Helen, sorry. As far as I remember, after being arrested in April, straight after the stabbing took place, Helen was then interviewed where she gave replies of no comment. She was subsequently charged with attempted murder and remanded in custody till her trial in September. In the meantime, she was refused bail and remained in prison until she was found not guilty at her trial. So there we go. So that's for Richard.
Oh, yes.
Who was confused about why the hell he wasn't in prison and she had been. As in, why Titchinob wasn't in prison, but Helen was.
Yes.
Keep up the good work and don't stop laughing. It makes my day. Love from Sue Hanrahan and Jesse the Golden Retriever Guide Dog. I love Golden Retriever Guide Dogs. Anyway, so that's nice that we've got a listener who's a guide dog. Hello, Jesse. Jesse, sit. I'm probably confusing her, aren't I, by doing that. Keith says, regarding the possible sale of the Aldridge's farm, perhaps Jeremy Clarkson could take it over with a farm shop, drawing in hundreds of visitors to the village, causing traffic chaos. Also, we wondered why René Artois from Allo Allo keeps turning up on your show. We are expecting Yvette to say, oh, René, at any moment. Finally, the Menai Strait is a 25-kilometre stretch of water between Anglesey and the mainland. Enjoying the show. Keith, that's because you asked me what the Menai Straits was.
Oh,
and
yes.
And I said it was a river. And my mother immediately messaged me and said, it's not a river, Lucy Freeman, you ought to know that. So yes, it's a 25-kilometre stretch of water between Anglesey and the mainland, as any fool know. Right. Rob Williams. Do you remember when he emailed in and he was the Reverend Rob? And you said, oh, we've got two reverends, listen to us. He says... So this is from the Rev Rob. My dearest, gorgeous, sexy, erudite and startlingly funny ladies, oh, and uncle, what's his name? I have to apologise most profoundly. Several weeks ago, you read out my email, actually a string of emails, and queried whether I was a real reverend. For the last few weeks, I've been listening to your podcast and thinking, ooh, I still haven't answered their question about my ecumenical status. I must do that. The short answer is, am I properly ordained? Is, well, yes and no. My first experience of electronic messaging was back in 1982 before the internet. I was having arguments online before any of you were born. Just before every mad bugger and his mate was online, I came across the Universal Life Church of Modesto, California, who were offering online ordinations. As an evangelical atheist, I thought this might be quite a hoot and signed up. Within 30 seconds, I could perform christenings, weddings, funerals, and in fact, everything except circumcisions. When it was time to get an email address, I decided on Rev Rob, short for Rev Rob, but it was taken. That's how I ended up with Rev Rob UK. So keep up the good work, Rob. P.S. You didn't remember that Robert was outed as a Tarantino fan when talking about Blake and films. That's right, he was, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Ages ago. I can't even remember how now, but anyway. Now, do you remember Mrs. Harriet? About the lovely Cambridge men on whom you were very keen.
And oh, yes, the Cambridge Gin Club. Yeah.
Cambridge Gin Club. Oh, and Willa Brown.
Yeah, I forgot to tell you, we all had a jolly good night the other night, actually.
Well, actually, you didn't. And I can tell you why you didn't.
We didn't know.
This is from Martin Tunstall, who said, imagine my shock just now to hear an email from one of my very best friends, in inverted commas, Dr. Willa Brown, read out. I introduced Willa to the Archers a few years ago on a road trip across the States, and she in turn indoctrinated her brother's friends. I also introduced her to your podcast. She has never invited me to her Gin and Archers gossip Zooms, not once. Thank you for exposing this betrayal. I haven't yet decided what to do by way of revenge. Harriet, there is just one brother and he is hot. Although she hates people pointing that out. Ooh. Keep up the excellent work, you lovely people, Martin Tunstall. Thank you, Martin. I apologise.
Just one brother. I thought it was Willa and brothers. I thought there was seven brothers.
No, I think it's like Willa and brother and then brothers, well, hot friends. You decided they were hot.
Yes, they are hot.
Yeah. In your head, yes.
Yes.
Okay. So now we know there's hot brother and possibly hot brother's friends.
Yeah. Okay.
But I feel quite bad that we've inadvertently...
Awkward. Oh, my God. Yes. That's the trouble with these things. If you say something and other people listen to it, the damage is done.
I know. God. Well, do you know it gets worse? Because one email. We've also seemed to have upset Tom Peach's wife, who has emailed us.
I mean, just as much in love with her as I am with Tom.
You're such a
tart. Seriously.
She didn't even...
Such a tart. Sorry, Mrs. Peach.
No, Rachel Peach, this is. Oh, hi, Rachel.
Hi, Rachel.
Monday morning marked Freedom Day here in New South Wales. Yay. I was being chauffeured to work by the chivalrous Mr. Peach for my first day of face-to-face teaching for 3 months. As is our habit, we listen to the latest instalment of The Archers, Jazza being a sensible sweetie, Alan trying to regain lost youth, and Alistair being an awkward old fogey. Yes. But where is the latest download from my lovely ladies, wonders Tom. Didn't you listen last week, said I. Of course, he said. When they said they were taking a week off, says me. Oh, I didn't listen to that bit. I only listen to the bits I'm in, said Tom. Thought I would let you know, she says. Hope you had a relaxing week. And I'm glad you're back. I think of you as my friends and love the bants and giggles. Keep up the good work. Lots of love, Rachel.
Rach, I think of you as my friend too. Much more than I think of Lucy as my friend.
Oh, hi, Harriet. Thanks.
Hi. I mean, the Peaches are like, just, I hold them in my heart, Lucy, I do.
Well, I'm not sure they hold each other in their heart now that she's dobbed him in for not listening to us, apart from when he's in it.
To be fair, I would do the same. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I always fast forward your bits when I'm listening back to this.
Yeah,
Lucy.
No, I'm sure. Yeah. unfortunately, jokes. I can't fast forward your bits because you're in all of them. Anyway.
Because I love to laugh over you, like Elaine Page. Got to stop doing it.
And then, without knowing, Tom has then emailed us and said, "Dear Mr. Noobs, Harrow and Luce,
Mr. Noobs,
the snakes are back in the garden." Ugh. Our semi-tame blue tongue is eating snails. I don't even want to know what that is. And from Monday, we will be free again.
Yay!
And my play looks like it's on for early March. Hooray! As for the Archers, Jazza is truly a lovely human being and a good mate. No higher praise is available. Whereas Stella is doing to Brian what it normally takes a little blue pill and a series of naughty magazines to do. I want to know what her motive really is. What is her history with Justin? He has also sent you a beach photo.
As a
change from pool photos.
Beautiful.
I don't know. The history with her and Justin was just that she used to work with Justin. And yeah, Brian doesn't know, but we thought Brian didn't know, but then it turned out he did know that he put her up for the interview.
I think we're all reading too much into it, actually, and clearly, because they wouldn't do anything as dirty as that, I don't think.
No, and let's face it, I mean, when it's Brian, you always assume that he's Roger, the person that he's talking to, don't you? Because most of the time you're right, and he has. Reading too much into it, it's just there is nearly always a sexual dimension with pretty much every woman that Brian even walks behind at the supermarket. So, yes, you know, there we go. Now, last one from Elvis, who we thought was dead.
Hello. Hey, Elvis.
Bless him. Listen to this. Thank you for keeping me sane while I've been living in Sydney lockdown with my in-laws. We moved out here from the Midlands in June as the UK was coming out of lockdown and Australia was going in so that we could have our first child born over here. Needless to say, when agreeing to stay with my in-laws for a prolonged period of time, I hadn't anticipated being in bloody lockdown with them, he says. Oh my God, imagine that. I have been keeping myself sane, it's relative, by stomping about in Tom Peach's bush. He says, please convey my apologies if I've left any bruises, and listening to podcasts, yours being a weekly highlight. Thanking you.
Thank you.
Being a hopeless bloody romantic socialist, I have been loving every bit of Blake's reintroduction and budding rehabilitation, and would like him to become a regular fixture. Scriptwriters, please and thank you. A bit I remember from Lucy's past life was an agreement not to refer to Kenzie, Blake and Jordan as horses, as it was dehumanising. Could I beg you to consider this again? Yes, I know. I was conscious we were doing that last week and we shouldn't. So we must stop that.
Yeah. Stop it, Lucy. It's your fault.
Yes, okay. Why did everything about Truss's haircut have to be so predictable, right down to the unmentioned but ever-present twitching bulge in the gown while Chelsea worked on Nancy Bollocks' hair? Is it just me, or did Lillian not actually sound that out of character when she had her go at Ruth? Personally, I wouldn't worry about it because Ruth is used to dealing with belligerent cows, but enough about Pip.
very good.
Yes. So love and kisses down under, which are much the best place to have kisses, Elvis, down under. thank you very much.
thank you very much.
I agree. It was predictable, the haircut, but I did still enjoy it very much.
It was fun. It was fun. It was fun. Yeah.
And I think Russ is actually...
And the good thing was she actually smashed it.
Yeah, so. And he's becoming quite a kind of, I'm warming to him as a character. Yes. He's becoming a more rounded character now. And there are definitely now moments where I'm not just thinking, pervert, every time he comes on the mic.
And now we cross over to Febreze of Felpersham, where Chelsea is having a lesson with Febreze. Mr. Febreze? I'm here for my interview.
Oh, yes. Chelsea, is it not? And you are a student at Borchester College?
Yeah, hairdressing, beauty and molecular biology.
Really?
No, I was joking.
I see. Here at Febreze of Felpersham, we do not make the jokes. Hairdressing and beauty are very serious. Do you see Tess Daly laughing? No. There we are then.
Tess Daly? Does she come here?
Not yet, but the woman who writes the cookery column on the Borchester Echo walks past quite often, so there we are. You are working at a different level now, Chelsea.
I can handle it. Jackie Weaver used our loo. What would my duties be?
Take the ladies' coats and hang them up.
Well, I wasn't going to take them and then put them on eBay.
Less of the joking, please, cheeky madam. Remember, Tess Daly... You must cultivate a look of blank incomprehension at all times.
Right. Like Uncle Gary, then?
Yes, like Uncle Gary. Unless he is the one with the teeth. A tooth. If he is, then don't. So you will be partnered with a senior who you will assist. You will take the ladies to the basin and say, is this temperature all right for you? And then when they say yes, turn it up to nearly boiling. This is all part of the hairdresser's art. Then you ask them if they are going on holiday, and then they tell you all about it.
What if they aren't going on one?
Well, then you tell them about your holiday.
What if I haven't had one?
Then you talk about Strictly, car parking and cats, in that order.
Right. What do I wear?
You wear black, because it makes all the other ladies in the salon feel old and fat, and then they buy more things to make them look young and slim.
It's all psychology, this, isn't it? I like it. Will I get a chance to do any of my beauty stuff?
What have you learned so far?
Threading, microdermabrasion. We wasn't meant to do that, but domestic science before us had left the graters out, so we thought we'd have a bash. Oh, and waxing. Well, I know how to put it on. I don't know how to take it off as the bell went and my bus was going. She wasn't happy.
Who wasn't happy?
The lady I was waxing. She still walks funny now, apparently.
My God! We'll start you off with Mrs. Woolley. She will be in at 11.
Righto. What does she have?
She has a mid-perm, lavender rinse and a manicure. Oh, and a Brazilian.
Now, some of you will have noticed that we haven't done a Mr. Newbie for a while. That is for reasons which Mr. Newbie himself will explain at the end of the podcast. But Harriet and I want to say that we love him a lot.
He's okay.
He is okay. He is okay. Yes. But we love him a lot.
We love him a lot.
Okay. So that's that. There'll be another podcast up next week. So subscribe to us on iTunes and you will never miss an episode. And please give us a review and we will give you big kisses.
In the meantime, if you would like to contact us, you can email ambridgeonthecouch@gmail.com and give us your comments or any questions for Mr. Newbie.
We are at On Ambridge on Twitter, or you can follow Mr. Newbie on Twitter at NewbieCouch.
It's in the meantime.
It's goodbye from all of us. And have a lovely week.
What the hell were those voices?
I don't know. I've just got to practice for my audition.
Good morning, everybody. You may, or indeed may not, have noticed that I've been largely absent, both from the podcast and online, over the last few weeks. I've been on holiday and it was lovely. But it wasn't just that. I was supposed to contribute my usual bit at least once during my holiday, and I was supposed to do it this week as well. And I didn't. Because I just couldn't. There's nothing wrong with my life, per se. I have two beautiful kids. I have a wonderful girlfriend who I love very much. I have a job that pays me enough and that I can do well. I have a roof over my head, food on the table, and money for holidays. I get to do a weekly podcast with two incredibly kind and talented women. I get to do silly voices and muck about with sound effects. And I get to, I hope, make some of you laugh some of the time. I have no complaints. I do, however, have depression. And these last couple of weeks, it's beaten me. Now, I know what you're thinking. Moving to Ambridge would depress anybody, but actually, I'm dysthymic, which means that in contrast to people who have waves of depression, in between which they feel better or manic, I just feel a bit down all the time, and I have done all my life. In an exciting new development, though, I've started, it's good to try new things, to suffer from anxiety. This does come in waves and is a real rollercoaster ride when it does. I don't mind admitting that there are times when I can barely drag myself out of bed. I've been more tired this week than I can remember being for a long time. Part of that is just the tiredness that many of us, I think, feel at the onset of autumn, but a good part of it isn't. A good part of it is my mental health. I don't tell you this because I want or need your sympathy. I'm telling you this because one of my many hobby horses is that people don't talk about and aren't encouraged to talk about their mental health enough. People with mental illness are so often ashamed of it. I absolutely was, right up until I decided to be nuts and proud. I definitely feel like a failure. Why can't I just be normal? Why am I not coping with this when everybody else is? I'm not good enough. I'm not strong enough. I'm not worth anybody else's time. I get these thoughts all the time. But simply because I get them doesn't mean they're true. Do you want to know how many of you will experience a diagnosed mental illness during your lifetimes? It's about half. And the other half aren't necessarily fine. They're just not diagnosed as not being fine. At some point, if it hasn't happened already, there's a decent chance it will happen to you. And if it does, you'll realise that you're not a different person because of it. You're still exactly who you were before. You're just struggling with a disease now. You're still good enough. You're still strong enough. You're still worth other people's time. But in order to stay on top of those thoughts, you need to talk about them. I did, I do, and it helps me enormously. I've told everybody that I'm ill. I'm telling you, and I've never even met you. It wasn't easy to begin with, and I mean, I like talking about myself. It can't shut me up most of the time. But it helps. It helps like nothing else helps. I don't need anybody to solve anything. I don't need anybody to fix anything. I just need someone to listen. Talking might not be the only thing, but it's definitely the main thing, and any conversation, even if it is only about the Archers, is better than none. But I know it's not that simple. When I told my parents, they were very sympathetic, but it was clear they didn't really know what to do with the information. It's a taboo subject that we've never discussed since. I get that. I do. It's okay not to be okay, but it's also okay not to understand, or to be frightened by it, or to want to ignore it and pretend it's not happening. That's all completely normal and natural. There's plenty of slacktivism out there. Share this, retweet that. But mostly all that's needed is to ask someone how they really are and to listen to what they have to say. That's it. That's all you have to do. All that's needed is for you to be in their life just as you were before they were ill, and to ask questions and to listen to the answers. You don't need to know what to do or what to say. You just need to be there. Until everybody is comfortable with the reality of mental illness, that it's here to stay, that it's more widespread than we realise, and most importantly, that it doesn't change who you are any more than arthritis does, we'll continue as a society to sideline it rather than shine a light on it, and lots of people will continue to be unhappy. So if you know someone who is, or you think might be, struggling, go and have a cuppa with them, see how they're doing. It might just make all the difference. Anyway, that's my bit. I hope to be back as good as new next week, unless Alice is in the show, in which case, all bets are off. In the meantime, look after yourselves, everybody. Lots of love to you all.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.